Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
When I was young, I knew something was wrong. My mother would forget to pick me up from school.
Drugs and alcohol may make you forget your problems.
My mother got help, and because of recovery, she is here for me.
Hi, Mom.
You ready?
Let's go.
For drug and alcohol treatment for you or someone you love, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimki Center for Wholeness. Ahimki is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimki is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimki Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimki Mind Management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimki.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimki Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Hey folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Thank you.
on the drum, talking drum, the master talking drum. Drumming only fitting for a king. Yes, indeed. Welcome to the play experience where nothing matters more than you purposefully love and appreciate yourself and commit to this on a momentary basis. At the top of the show, you were listening to George Skrillis with Pure Imagination. You can find all of his beautiful music on EVZoneMusic.com. My name is Ombasa Sofira, and I'm one with all truth, all beauty, all justice, and all love. Now, it is the designated month for purpose, passion, and peace. And guess what? This is the finale for this month. But who designated this month? I'll let y'all figure that out. Welcome again to the Play Experience. It's so funny. It's every time, I said this earlier today, that every time I produce a song, a book, a poem, a workshop, or any event, Source, the Creator, Love, has always a perfect way to put me to task, you know, of measuring up to whatever the title is. So, whatever. Whatever the deal is, I'm grateful, yeah, to have such awesome opportunities, all of the opportunities that are afforded to me by this month being purpose, passion, and peace. I was saying earlier that also that my purpose in life speaks to how my mind is directed towards the way, the how, that I will deliver this passion that I have, this fire that I have, my soul expression, my liquid love, my very soul essence, yeah, into the world, you know, to cultivate a peace within and without that passes all understanding and just allow it to just spread and ripple all over everything that is. I'm just loving it, loving it, loving it. I'm loving this playground called life where we can just be, do, and have anything our soul desires, our passion, by simply welcoming ease, grace, and love into our lives. So, I said that we had the drums welcoming and fitting only for a king today on the playground. Just visiting, I say visiting, from Ghana, we have Dr. Oba Thomas, which is so fitting a name for a true king of hearts, a lover of humanity like no other. And you'll see what I'm talking about from his huge bags. He's going to pull out his huge bag of gifts and services, which will show you why he is a true king of hearts. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Play Experience, my dear beloved brother.
Thank you. It's so good to be with you, and it's so good to be present.
Yes, much indeed. Love. And you are definitely present, a present, a present present. Yes, indeed. Thank you so, so much. Well, I've said a lot about you, but I'm going to let you talk about you. Who is Oba, Dr. Oba Thomas?
Basically, I am finding that it's just such as just being present, like I said again, and that means to me to experience the joy and to continue on the path that I've been. And that path has led me to always be a provider of healing services. You know, I started in medicine early in life, and I've been pursuing that kind of mode in terms of providing a service of seeing people to be well and not lying, not understanding disharmony, and so trying to always get rid of it. So that led me to a physician assistant, and then for 10 years, and then I moved on to become a chiropractor. And that has been very rewarding, because that the principles and philosophies of chiropractic embellish spiritual principles in terms of the body has the innate ability to heal itself. So once you start on understanding that the body is already designed to be whole, we just have to remove the interference. And that principle is sort of like the creative principle of our lives, in terms of we were put here perfect, and then we learned different things that took us off the path or moved off the path and created all these obstructions that we now have to rid ourselves of, body, mind, and spirit, physically, mentally, with words, with thoughts, with actions, leading down the path of the self-destruction. So my thing now basically is to like see no evil, speak no evil, and hear no evil, you know, in terms of getting the body whole again, undoing the programming, and just allowing it, and be still and know, you know, the body was actually programmed by the Creator, by your father, mother, to be obedient and be behaved. But disobedience has led us now to a point where we are on self-destruct. So now, you know, you have to really pray without cease to get back on the right path, because you got so much coming at you, so much, like weapons of mass distraction. You know,
And what would that be?
Who would that be?
What is the weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass distraction.
Distraction,
well,
okay.
Distraction.
Okay.
Weapons of mass distraction.
Okay, all right, now we're on the same page. Distraction, let's break that down. Okay, what are the weapons of mass distraction?
Well, basically, it's not being able to be still. You know, it's because of you're seeking something outside of yourself that you constantly see the flicker and the stimulation, the neon lights and the attraction of everything besides yourself. So everything is programmed to stimulate you, and so you're led away by deception of not understanding the first principle of knowing thyself. You don't know yourself, so you're constantly seeking things outside to give you the answer that leads you further outside of yourself. So if you don't go within, you will go without understanding the principles of who you are. You know, and so no. The distraction starts basically just from education, from misguidedness of the culture, you know, not having a culture where you have mentors and elders and things that tend to support you in your growth, and a community of people who look at you and give you a mirror of love instead of who do you think you are today, you know, who do you think you are anyway, you know, those kind of statements misguide us into not appreciating ourselves, not getting a name that would give you some direction, not giving a hug that would give you some direction, not getting lap time, not getting enough of all these little things, and proper diet to cultivate a wholesome body.
We're talking about multiple streams of well-being and not living in the illusion. Ever since when I first met you, I know that you had a practice, and you also work with a lot of herbal medicine, did you not?
Yeah, I work with herbs and nutrition.
Okay, and so as it pertains to your life, and what did you define as purpose?
Purpose is to just really know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, know who your parents are. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, know, you know, that because, like, you know, some of us were born certain places, so we figure we're that. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I know there's I used to study with a lady in New York, Queen Mother, and she said, mm-hmm. just because you were put in the oven, born in the oven doesn't make you biscuits. You know, and mm-hmm. so we're born in this frame, in this body. And we start from a very early age to identify with everything that comes out of the body instead of telling and programming the body to understand who we are. We become separate from who we are and start to identify with all of our thoughts. And whatever the mind sort of like picks up, we sort of like accept as who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a confusing kind of thing, you know. You know, there's examples they give in history where, like, an eagle egg fell out the air, and it grew up with the chickens, and it thought it was a chicken, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so nothing you can do to convince that eagle that it's an eagle until you push it up off in the air, and then it flies off the mountain, and then it realizes that it has the ability to fly. Well, we're walking around moping and groping because we have been trained how to identify with chickens.
Okay.
You know,
okay. And so with the same definition, how do you define passion in your life as it pertains
passion.
To you? Mm-hmm.
Passion in my life is the joy of understanding that this gift that I've been given is to be celebrated from moment to moment.
Mm-hmm.
In every way, in every the five senses are a good way to maybe start with. Smiling, seeing, and appreciating what you see, and then touching and hugging, and touching is a big one, and then smelling and tasting, all those things we enjoy through our five senses. But it goes beyond that, and it comes back to really spending time being quiet, and so that you can hear what's really going on inside.
That's
beyond the body mechanics, beyond the organs and senses of this body, there's something going on all the time. God is trying to tell you something, like you say in The Color Purple.
Right.
God is always talking, but who's listening?
Right. That's powerful because I'm doing a workshop calling it igniting the passion within peace. And when you said that last piece, it was definitely integral in, you know, when you go within, you can only know then. You can only know then what your passion is. You can only know then what your purpose is. You can only know then, you know, so there's no mistakes that, you know, peace is the last purpose, passion, peace. Peace is it. You know, they always talk about you find the answer in the question. You know, when you go within, you can be still enough, as you said, to find that passion. So when did you know what your passion is, you know, your passions were? You know, what actually started you to live in your passion?
Well, I've always done it, but I've ignored it. You know, I mean, I've always like, I couldn't stand to see anybody sick. I've always tried to take care of everything and anything that I saw that was out of line because I don't think it's normal. It's not natural. So I've always had this inclination to see things heal, you know, but I didn't pay any attention to that. Although, I mean, I ended up going into the field of health. But it was just always there, always present in terms of my lifestyle, in terms of what I wanted to see happen, in terms of what, you know, happening around me. But I've always had the inclination to see things heal, be healing, you know. And now it's just full-blown because I can't even talk a word without correcting it if it's not wholesome, you know. Like, for example, I say, you know, even like something simple, like if I'm rushing to get someplace and I say, well, I don't have any more time. I say, well, that's correct. That's not a correct statement because I have plenty of time. I'm a divine being. I have all the time in the world. You know, everything that I say, I know how it reflects on my being.
Mm.
So I have to be careful how I use that in terms of my eternal life, I mean my divine life, and in terms of this physical day-to-day play that I go through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because one affects the, every word that proceeded out of my mouth affects. It's listening. Somebody's listening to me, and my body is listening. So
mm-hmm.
I have to always be telling it the truth.
That's right.
You can't play.
That's right.
You can't take a joke. You know? So if I say, if you know, even if you're saying, you know, you don't stand a chance, or you know, these statements are not healthy. You know, so you have to find a way that's healthy when you, even when you're joking,
okay.
Make it healthy. Make it healthy because
yeah.
your body is listening. You know, it was singing. It was a song. I can't sing too well. Every move you make, every step you take, I'll be watching
right.
you. There's a song that goes like that. Something. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
But his spirit just sent that to me recently and said, well, you know, you gotta watch it. Watch your steps. Watch your mouth because you know
okay.
because somebody's listening to you.
Somebody's
you know?
Listening. Okay. So with that, we're gonna take a break in a second, a music break. But this, with that, what you just said, do you feel that you are fully expressing your passion right now?
Oh, every day I grow more and more. You know, it's just like it's like a caterpillar to a butterfly.
Okay.
You know? It's going. I'm starting to fly.
Uh-huh.
It's good. It's all good though. It's all good.
Okay.
That's the good thing about it. It's all good because I'm just seeing more and more as I just have gratitude. I'm thankful, so you know it's no telling where this is going. You know, this ship is still coasting up. It's all good for me.
Okay.
I can appreciate every moment. Every moment.
I hear that.
Yeah, passion,
so we...
Everything is growing. Passion.
Okay.
Peace.
Perfect. All right. You said all the peas are growing. Okay, so now we're gonna go to break. But if you all saw the picture that I have on the show page, you will notice Dr. Ober with a very unusual pet. When we return, we're gonna ask him about that particular picture. Anyway, we'll be right back. See you in a minute.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
A piece in my book, Soul Journey to Truth, that says, it's called Roads, so many roads to choose before you reach your high, so many hills to climb, it's more than meets the eye, so where do you find those keys that unlock the mysteries of the pleasures that you seek? It's for the strong, not weak. Well, we have the strong one here. That just popped in my head, and it just it so pertains to this picture that we're talking about. So welcome back, Dr. Opa. We're going to ask you about this picture that you posed for with your unusual pet. Can you tell us about that?
The picture I sent you, the crocodile, mm-hmm. What happened when I moved to a place called Tamale, up north in Ghana, to open up a clinic, and when I arrived there, I met a Muslim brother that was my office manager that was working for me. And when I first arrived, he said, let's go see the crocodiles. And I told him I have no interest in seeing crocodiles, you know, because I grew up in the Bronx, New York, where they had this huge zoo. And I don't, you know, I don't get any more thrilled by going to zoos and seeing animals in cages or what have you, domesticated.
Exactly.
So for 2 years, I was in Tamale with my office manager talking about going and seeing the crocodiles and you can sit on them and all. I said, you know, I really don't have any interest in that.
Mm-hmm.
So we kept, you know, time kept going by. And then finally one day he said to me, do you know that the crocodiles are a sacred animal in the village that I want you to go see?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why didn't you tell me that 2 years ago?
Right.
You know, the animals are sacred. And so when he told me that, I said, let's go this week because I want to see what this is about. These animals that I thought this was a zoo and, you know, where you go and pet the animals and stuff. But
yeah.
What I found was when I arrived at this village, it's called Paga, and it's up in the northern region of Ghana. And the village in that picture, there's a huge lake behind me about the size of 3 football fields, and there's about 400 crocodiles in that water behind me. And there was 6, 8 other lakes in that village where the crocodiles live. The crocodiles live amongst the village. There's houses around this lake. There are animals on the periphery of this lake, and the crocodiles do not come out and eat these animals. These crocodiles live on the fish in the water and the food that the villagers bring to them. Or even more astounding is that these crocodiles walk throughout the community. They come to your door, and you can usually give them a chicken. or something. But they walked throughout. They walked in this community where I went to see. This crocodile that I was posing with is the largest one in this lake.
It's and huge.
He's huge, you know.
Yeah, he is huge.
And I was just amazed to see the relationship in this village with the crocodiles. Even across the road from this village, from this pond, there's a restaurant, which is called the Crocodile Restaurant, and it has a huge lake in the back, and they have a restaurant on the banks of the river, the lake, and they, you can go sit in the back on the patio, and the crocodiles are swimming in the back, and they come up. So this community called Paga, P-A-T-E, P-A-T-A, has a relationship with the crocodiles, where the crocodiles, and you know, the brother came over and gave me the history of years ago. You know, there was a hunter, and he saw this crocodile that was trapped, and he freed it instead of killing it. Spirit told him not to kill it, and the same crocodile ended up saving his life, but he was drowning in the water, and they established a relationship, and that was many years ago. And since then, in this village, the crocodiles and the people have a relationship where the crocodiles are treated sacredly, and they don't bother anybody. And I asked him, had there ever been any instances? He said, when tourists come to try to collect crocodile skin and they mean harm to the crocodiles, there's a problem sometimes. Someone comes with that attitude or with a gun or something.
Mm-hmm.
Crocodiles can sense it, and then there'd be a problem. Someone would get injured. But they haven't had that in any times. So it was a very, very, you know, very moment for me to just realize that kind of relationship. And I figured that, you know, at some point that we all have relationship with most animals until something was distorted, you know. Because if you're going to eat an animal, it's not going to like you, you know.
Wow.
There is a big distortion now. And so, but I think that we were here, put here to take care of everything, and it knew that at one time. But now the relationships with humans and humans is causing problems. So there's relationship problems with everybody and everything. But this was really astounding for me to experience, you know. And I'm sure there's other places in Africa that you'll find relationships with all types of animals and that go beyond what we've been trained and taught, you know. And that my training with crocodiles was, you know, to stay away.
Yeah. Well, most of us, most of us, for sure. Yes, indeed. That is really, when you talked about them freeing the animal and. Speaking of freedom, we had Fertile Ground talking about freedom on the break. And you can find Fertile Ground at blackoutstudios.com. Yeah, it's a really powerful thing to have a village. I think I've actually heard about that village at one point about there's another one that they deal with, hippopotamus.
It's
the same way.
Right.
But it just talks about the relationship with the earth and how the people with the passion that they have for the animals can get along. You know,
right.
It's a beautiful thing. And like I said, that is not for a weak-minded person, one who thinks that only about conquering, because that's the weak person. The weak person is always talking about conquering, fighting, having any type of conflict, as opposed to the peace that comes with, you know, being on purpose and having a passion, compassion for other animals and what the earth provides, you know. And so you are in Ghana now, and you're just visiting here. And are you working over here at all throughout the year, or are you just in Ghana all the time?
Well, right now, I just finished working in Ghana for the last 3 years for another clinic. Now I'm going back and start to look into opening my own clinic. As a matter of fact, the place where I looked at is called WA, W-A, and they have the relationship with the hippopotamus.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I'm going back to WA to open up a clinic eventually on my own, because I want to. These places are very far out, and the people have no idea about what I do. Like at Tamale, I started the clinic at Tamale, and before that, they never heard of chiropractic before, and it's going real well. Then I went to, I have two clinics going, one in Bulga, Tanga. Bulga, that's further north. So I have a clinic in Bulga now, and but these are not my clinics. I just started them for another organization called the Spinal Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm finished with that organization, per se, and now I'm on my own to go back and start my own clinic, and I'm looking at starting it in WAP. I'm home to visit. I have grandchildren here now, and visiting friends and grandchildren, and right now I'm just visiting, and I'll be going back to Ghana in about another 2 weeks.
So what is it like being an African-American living in Ghana, you know? What are the gifts or the blessings, you know, or challenges, if you will?
Well, one of the things that makes it quite easy is that I don't think they have the word stranger in their vocabulary. You know, I don't think they know what that means. That's why Chinese, Europeans, anybody, you name it, is not a stranger there. No, they don't. They don't treat anybody like a stranger. You know, in Ghana. And they tend to seem like they have a very close attractiveness to African Americans, I guess from Nkrumah, way back from Nkrumah, and coming here, get educated. And African Americans have been attractive to Ghanaians. So we have a good rapport, a good relationship in terms of being there. They, you know, there was one president who wanted to, I don't know who's Rollins, but they was trying to get us dual citizenship at one time. And I guess you probably can still do that. But I'm just saying the point is that Ghana, and they, you know, their first language is English. Well, I mean, they all speak other languages. But everybody speaks English just about. Not everybody, but most people. It's a primary language there. So, you know, it's very comfortable being there because the culture is very people-oriented. You know, people, there's no strangers, so, you know, people speak to everybody else there. It's a culture where, you know, the word welcome is really adhered to, you know, and in Accra is Akwaba, and in Tamale is Dagmani, Amaraba. So that's the language, Dagmani and Tamale, and then in Accra they have a lot of different languages, but tree is a big one, and they got airway and
heard of that.
And Boga is Fra-Fra. I speak a little bit of all of those now, you know, just enough to communicate with my patients. But the fact is that the culture is people-friendly. It's people-oriented. You know, everything is done based on people, not on time. So so you don't have that alienation.
Wow.
You have that. It's family. It's still a lot of family-oriented also. You know, and the children, and the elders are not put in nursing homes. You know, the elders are you know, like, it's funny because I kept my head bald, and I kept no mustache and no face, but now I grew my gray hair and gray mustache, and now they call me daddy. You know, elder.
you elevated.
So I got elevated when I grew my gray, and then
they
get up and give me chairs.
Yeah, that's interesting that you said that too, because I wondered how their spiritual traditions differ from any Western approach, or, you know, are they more religious?
Well, they're more spiritual. I mean, I think if you just into people, you'd be more spiritually based.
Right.
You know,
just when you say that, you mean just day to day people, or
everybody. It's like, you know, the culture won't allow you not to speak.
Right.
And when you come from that point, you know, a person starts to feel valued automatically, because they acknowledge each other's presence all the time. You know, and you can't confront someone without speaking peace first. You know, you don't confront them. Actually, you have to talk to them. In a manner that you don't, you know, just tell them, you just say, you know, you just ain't no good, or that's not correct. You know, you have to, like, talk to a person and get them, you try to get them to understand that the behavior is not acceptable without confronting them. They don't confront, you know, they more like talk to you, communicate with you.
Okay.
And you know, we're very direct here. Very direct.
Right. Okay.
You know?
That's
and,
the difference.
You know, they're very direct. They don't do direct. They do more like, you know, let's talk about it and then see if we can come to some kind of understanding.
Okay.
You know, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time because I, you know, like, I had an employee I wanted to really do something with her because she was lying. So I called my office manager in, and he took about 15, 20 minutes just telling her how, you know, the proper way to do things.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay.
You know, so they talk to you about things. You get a discussion. You get a discussion more than a confrontation.
Okay. Now, I have a question. I have a question for you, Adam. We're getting close to the top of the hour. The one thing that I saw about you when I first met you was I loved to see you dance. Now, it was Ghanaian dance that you used to do. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and so tell me, are you dancing in Ghana?
Well, I had to slow down with that because, you know, the image that I have doing my healing and stuff, they don't, my people that I work for, they're comfortable with me doing that dancing. You know, I know that the dances that I am from, the village that I went to, Tamale, Bamaya is one of the national dances there. I know Bamaya, like the back of my hand, and they would be awed when I start doing it. You know, because I've done Bamaya, brother, I danced with Tete. He taught me Bamaya, Ajibo, Naga.
Mm-hmm.
I knew all the dances, and they all were done in that village that I'm currently working at. So they wanted me to join the dance troupe, but I didn't have time. But they have younger, you know, they all have one quarter of my age, the ones that are dancing. And I don't have time
to dance.
Which
means nothing to your dancing, but go ahead.
But, you know, the thing is, it's very exciting, you know, the drumming. I went to their performances, you know, and everything. Mm. But, yeah, the dancers are very powerful, you know. But the people are moving away, the common folks are moving away from the culture of dancing and celebrating that kind of lifestyle.
So you're not moving with them, are you?
No, not at all.
Okay. Because that was something that, I mean, would you consider that one of your passions?
Oh, if I came back, I would be with Alvin Ailey. You know, if I came back in another form, I would have joined Alvin Ailey Dance Troupe first.
Okay.
To answer your question. Dancing
so it
is a part
passion.
Of blood.
Okay, so it's in the blood. So that means when I come to Ghana, I'm going to see you dancing.
You don't have to wait till you come to Ghana.
Well, good.
If you see
but I do want to see you. But but I do want to see you dancing on Ghanaian soil. That would be a seriously powerful ancestral piece right there. So now the last question I'm going to ask you. Two questions. How do you play? How do you purposely love and appreciate Dr. Oba Thomas?
The best way that I can do that is just to forget about that and honor what comes after that. Okay, so what am I saying? I'm saying that I really want to honor the best that this life can give me in terms of why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And Oba is a temporary thing.
Okay.
Which I love. I love everything about Oba.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
But God, the message that I have is that, you know, it's so much bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay.
When you just let go and let God, it's so much bigger than that. We have to start losing these selves, you know, and find ourselves and lose the individual self. You know, the minusculeness, the temporariness of this is getting in the way of most of the time, you know, because if I would just really understand my parent, I have a parent that created everything and everything that's so, I'm the child, you know. And that's what's all. That's the main message I have. You know, the message is that I'm a child of God, and like a child of my father. My father wants me to just enjoy it.
And
you know,
so what? Okay. So with that, what can people do to get in touch with that love, with their parents, with their passion, with that energy?
Yeah. Stop trying to learn so much and be, you know, because when I was younger, I wanted to get all the degrees, and I went about doing that, putting all those papers on the wall.
Right.
But, you know, the most profound one that I got was from the Institute of Divine Wisdom, where we just, you know, went on retreats and did sweats and just be still and know, You know, but the main thing to do that basically though is to really cultivate the experience of just striving to experience it. Knowledge. Knowledge is not going to get it. It's experience. It's being it. So in other words, trying to explain a lot of this stuff, just like Molly Dunn would say in his book, he said that a lot of those rituals he had to perform, he couldn't talk about them because as soon as he talked about it, it's no longer available or there. Right. And that's what we have to realize, that a lot of things that we try to talk about is not open for discussions.
Right, exactly.
It's not, because we have to experience it. We come from a culture of things that, you know, there's not impossible. There's nothing impossible. But you've been trained to not think that you can do it, so you got to try to think about it and figure out how to do it. You know, because Einstein even said the most powerful thing is the most mysterious thing. It's the mystery of life. And so, you know, when I try to identify Oba, I'm limiting something.
Okay. So
you know,
that is very powerful. And with that, then we should probably just close out and go. And leave them with what the essence of Oba is, the true King of Hearts. I truly love and appreciate you for joining me today. And I trust to get you back on, even if you're in Ghana, we can still play on the playground. We can work out. All right, beloved. Take special care, and thank you for assisting me to close out this month of purpose, passion, and peace. Love you.
Peace. Love you all.
Talk to you later. All right. Much love. All right. We have had a wonderful month talking about purpose, passion, and peace. We have enjoyed ourselves immensely, and we are about to take it out with Sherry Marie, Revival of a Love Story. We are going to revive this love, this passion, this joy, and continue forth into the next month, where we will have a theme of relationships of all kinds. Much love to you. Ombasa out.
I feel so alone, a ship that's lost at sea. When he walked out on me, I didn't have a plan B. Where do I go to now? How could I let this be? No one here to love, and no one to me. Help me, Lord, before.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.